Hi, I'm one of the High Priests of Khonshu Rey, and I have the sacred privilege of providing you, the Loony Listener, with a podcast honouring Marvel's very own Moon Knight. So join me and a host of others at Into the Night, a Moon Knight podcast. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, or support the show by becoming a Patreon member. Into the Night, a Moon Knight podcast. It's time to get your Khonshu on.
Hello, I'm Alan.
I'm Rebecca.
And welcome to the DCAU podcast. This week we are covering Justice League Doom.
I thought I was going to make a Doctor Doom joke, but I don't really have it in me.
Aquel.
Yeah. It's a whole Justice League film with, like, actual Justice League members.
I know. It's almost strange to actually have the whole thing.
It is. Like, no one leaving or...
Well...
It's weekend edition as well.
Yes. So... Justice League Doom is an adaptation of the 2000... comic book JLA Tower of Babel, which was written by Mark Waid. This was then adapted by Dwayne McDuffie in, unfortunately, the last of these films that he would write. He'd passed away just, I think it was like the day before All-Star Superman came out.
Oh, right.
So, one, this film is dedicated in his memory, and two, as I said, it was Dwayne McDuffie himself that wrote the this version.
Yeah, no, I saw the dedication. I didn't bother going to look up why.
The film was directed by Lauren Montgomery, who's done a few of the films that we've seen before. And yes, as I said, it's an adaptation of a previous Justice League comic book. The kind of main differences are that in the original comic book, it's Martian Manhunter, Plastic Man, Aquaman, Green Lantern, Wonder Woman, Flash, Superman, and Batman, whereas opposed to this time, it is just, Green Lantern, Martian Manhunter, Superman, Wonder Woman,
Batman,
and Cyborg shows up as well.
Yeah, Cyborg.
And this is ostensibly a sequel to Crisis on Two Earths, though the voice cast is different.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, it's, for instance, there's a different person voicing Batman. I think off the top of my head, it might have been Tim Dale and Susan Eisenberg. And it's Nathan, so we've got Nathan Fillion back as Hal Jordan. And yeah, we've got an awesome cast list, actually, when I look at it.
Here. It is a really good cast list again.
The film starts with quite an awesome set of opening credits, basically depicting the Bat computer being hacked.
Yeah, which is fun.
And it's the only part where you actually get proof that this is a sequel, because they actually use clips from Crisis on Two Earths.
Yeah.
We...
And you'd think Batman would have better security, but, you know...
Well, we'll get to that. So, Batman arrives first to a... Is this like a museum or a storage facility for diamonds?
Yeah, it looked like a storage facility.
So, it's the Royal Flush Gang, which is a... This particular version seems to be a sort of robot-human hybrid team.
Yeah. I quite like them. I like playing card themed things or tarot card themed. I'm quite into the whole card game themed villains.
I do look. The Royal Flush Gang seems to be this kind of. It shows up so often.
Yeah.
In fact, in the actual, if you bought the DVD of this film, it actually includes with it the two episodes of the Justice League animated series that featured the Royal Flush Gang.
Okay.
Which is basically
That's a nice bit of added marketing.
Yep. The Joker takes over Las Vegas with the help of the Royal Flush Gang.
Why not?
Yep.
I mean, Vegas would be a good place for the Royal Flush Gang to
absolutely.
Be.
And Joker's basically taken over the TV networks, so he's doing this reality show, which is the Justice League fighting the Royal Flush Gang and looking for bombs.
Yeah, I don't really see Joker as being charismatic enough for TV, but hey,
it's Mark Hamill Joker.
Yeah, but still, it just seems a weird pivot to me. Like, I expect it always to be like on the other side, like MODOK and Arcade, but like Joker's like, okay.
So
I see him more of a sort of Twitter guy.
He'd be banned from Twitter by now.
Well, 4 years later, he might be.
So, just for sake of reference, the week that we're recording this is the week of the results of the Georgia election and the fallout from that and the...
insurrection on the Capitol building.
Yes. Anyway, on to far simpler matters.
Yes.
So, the Justice League very easily defeat the Royal Flush Gang.
As you would expect.
I mean, when Batman is able to pretty much hold his own against you on his own.
Yeah, yeah. Then you're one of the... If you're a Batman villain that Batman can take down on his own, then you don't really need a Justice League against you.
Yes.
No criticism of Batman, but like he isn't superpowered. So, you know.
We do... I mean, one thing I do notice, and I've actually noticed, is everyone's far quippier than I ever remember a...
I quite like them.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, it is. It's a kind of Justice League
at the quip off,
their
yeah.
peak, yeah. Also, one other thing that's established at this point is Flash can phase through walls, which I don't think has been established in anything else that I've... Well, that's been on this... on the series of films.
Yeah, I think I've seen him do it either on the TV show or in a comic once.
Uh-huh. Oh, no.
And it was through a door, not through a wall. But it's a little bit... It's like they play fast and loose on speed force powers, I think.
Yeah.
But whatever. It's also a comic book kind yeah. of thing.
Absolutely. And what ends up happening is Cyborg also shows up and is able to take out King, who had managed to escape.
So basically Cyborg comes and shows his usefulness, isn't he? Yes. The key summary there.
And the Royal Flush Gang have a device that enables... It's like dimensional portal technology, so it made one of the walls walk throughable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's kind of established, and I was like, this doesn't make sense. That's quite advanced tech. That's not something the Royal Flush Gang would have.
Yeah, yeah, it's definite higher tech than you'd expect.
Batman is being Batman, and goes... You need to find out what's going on. Anyway, I'm off. Bye.
Yeah.
And I do like that you get this sort of the second he knows he's not being watched.
Yeah, yeah.
He suddenly becomes human.
Pretty aware of what he, yeah.
He notices but ignores. He goes, why am I seeing a face in the back seat? Well, it's probably nothing.
Yeah.
Because Batman works on the video game guard logic.
Yeah. Yeah. I say that's a perfect way of summarising it.
He then arrives back home to Alfred being the MVP and not letting him work.
Yeah. I like Alfred. He's always snarky, always good, like you keep pointing out. There's never a bad Alfred.
Absolutely not. Now, one thing I remember noting, I think it was from Batman Beyond, so obviously it's not canon to this universe, but one of the things I was sure was in the security system is a automatic detection of any change of weight of the Batmobile.
Which would be a good idea.
Apparently, this does not affect having a Mirror Master in your car.
Yeah.
And this is probably the one bit that kind of seems weird. So Mirror Master has hidden in Batman's car. Now, I don't know anything about Mirror Master and his powers, so
Yeah, I know very little about him. I know the name and that's it. I think he was in the Flash TV show, but probably not with his right powers.
yeah. But what he does have is the he has a piece of LexCorp tech that can apparently hack the Bat computer.
Of course.
So after doing this, he then disappears off back into the car. And also, this now we don't find this out till later, but it turns out that somehow Mirror Master didn't set off the movement detectors.
Yeah, this is a Batman whose security needs a lot of help.
Yes. Almost as much help as the poor alligator does when it tries to kill Bane. So we cut to a swamp in Louisiana where Bane, Star Sapphire, Metallo, Malefalac, and Cheetah are summoned by Vandal Savage in his giant dome.
It sounds like it's a euphemism for something, but it is just Vandal Savage in his massive dome.
So, a few of these we've met before, a few of them we haven't. So, Bane we've met before. We've not met Star Sapphire as Star Sapphire. Obviously, she's Carol Danvers. Metallo,
It's not Danvers, is it?
I think so.
That's Captain Marvel. Maybe she is. Is she called the same thing in both? That's hilarious.
Oh, sorry, Ferris, Carol Ferris. That's
Okay,
what.
phew, phew.
I knew I was
Okay.
get. I was like, see the second you said it, I was like, oh, that's what I got wrong. Okay.
No, that's fine. That's cool. Like that's good. I wouldn't have. I obviously didn't remember her name either, so.
The main difference being that whoever is cast as Carol Ferris does not get relentlessly hated on by YouTubers with no life.
Yeah, for making valid points. But hey.
So, Metallo, we've seen in his human form before, but never as a robot. Oh no, we had did. He got killed. Anyway, Malefalac, we've not met before. As far
No,
as
I
I
wasn't sure who he was. Is it?
can tell, he's the twin brother of Jean-Jean's.
Okay, I literally had no idea who he was.
And he's like the arch nemesis, apparently.
Okay, well, yeah, I know nothing about Martian Manhunter except that he likes Oreos. And I don't even know where I get that knowledge from or if it's true. But like that is the one fact so somebody can probably tell you where that's from, but I don't know. Yeah, so cool. Okay, and he's a cool name, Matt Al. So how do you get John Jones to Matt Alifat? Matt
I
Alifat.
don't know. What I do know is that
Can you
he's the
imagine
same
naming
voice.
your like naming your boys? Call one of them John, and I know it's John's, but like, and the other Malafag. But fine, I shouldn't mock people's names.
It could be the opposite. For all we know, in Martian society, John Jones is the weird named one.
No, I'm sure it is. Like, yeah.
And Cheetah, I think Cheetah's had a cameo before, but never can have been a featured character. She's voiced by Claudia Black in this version, which
She
is
does a
brilliant.
great job, yeah.
And obviously, she's kind of been most recently featured in Wonder Woman 84, which neither of us can watch yet.
No, yeah, next week. It's if you're in the UK, you can rent it for 48 hours next week.
Hooray.
Hooray! I will probably forget because it's like in the middle of the week or something, so it's not a good time. 13th, so Wednesday to Friday. I don't get to watch TV midweek, so chances of me seeing it are low until it's out on DVD.
So, Our collection of rogues are greeted by Vandal Savage. I think this is the first time we've seen Vandal Savage as well. Now, in the original version of this, I believe it was actually, because it's Ra's al Ghul, who is the kind of mastermind of this,
Which makes some kind of sense, yeah.
and it's a different type of attack, and I believe it is just purely the League of Assassins. It's not a collection of supervillains.
Yeah, this kind of works well for the film.
So each of these villains has been paid $10 million to visit, and it's effectively, I'll pay you $100 million each to kill the Justice League.
Yeah, I mean, and they all need money, so they were like, fair, a bit of a support network. If only baddies did this more often.
Which it also means that Vandal Savage is literally willing to drop $500 million.
Yeah.
Which even, and that's before you consider how much this LexCorp thing must have cost. And also, it's quite telling that immediately, almost every single one of the villains clicks, you're doing something bigger if you're willing to drop this much.
Yeah.
So we get to see exactly what's going ahead when we start with Alfred being approaching Bruce Wayne to tell him that the graves of his parents have been dug up.
Yeah, which is, I mean, I guess if you want a way of getting at Bruce, like, that's a good way of getting at Bruce. So,
So it turns out the person who's dug the bodies up is Bane, who we don't see fully en masse, but we see him kind of with, for some reason it's indicated he wears black lipstick.
he's Bane. He wears it under his face mask. Who knows?
I do like this version of Bane in terms of his
I
appearance.
like this version of Bane a lot more than other versions of Bane.
I
I'm still not a massive Bane fan, but like.
he's very 90s just on default.
Yeah.
The one thing I don't get is his suit's kind of weird in terms of what parts of it are, he's got random bits of his outfit that are just showing his, like, it's like an ice dancer's outfit or something. It's weird looking.
Yeah.
Also, because again we get the reference to, oh, I've already broken the bat, but now I'm going to break the man, which wasn't the whole idea of when he broke the bat's back, that he knew he was Bruce Wayne.
I don't really remember, but I just think it's a bit weird.
So it's, anyway, that's, what am I doing? Trying to find logic.
Yeah, I mean, like, really, there is no logic in these, especially not between films.
Yes. Meanwhile, John Jones is celebrating his birthday. Well, his birthday is being celebrated for him, and he is given a drink from a lady at the bar.
Yeah, a mysterious lady. Who says she doesn't need, he doesn't need to come on to her. She's obviously into him.
Which, I mean, damn, man, that's your brother. Meanwhile, Cheetah has randomly attacked Wonder Woman.
Yeah, I bet it's probably something that happens quite regularly.
Yeah, Wonder
Oh,
Woman's just,
Cheetah's back.
yeah. Oh dear.
Here she is again.
Meanwhile, Barry Allen is told that Mirror Master has taken a train hostage. Green Lantern has been sent for because a militia, and I believe this is implied to be in America, so this is definitely unrealistic now. A militia has taken over a salt mine.
Never would happen. Never.
Never gonna happen. I mean, to be fair, it wouldn't. A salt mine's nowhere near valuable enough. So, Flash catches the train and he finds Mirrormaster. Bruce is beaten unconscious by Bane.
Yeah, again, it's just like they like the to and fro. All they
Mulder.
do is fight each other till they're in extreme pain.
So, just to kind of go through them each individually. So, Batman gets knocked unconscious and left buried alive in one of his parents' caskets. Wonder Woman gets scratched by Cheetah, who has nanobots on her claws that mean that everyone now looks like Cheetah to Wonder Woman. So she ends up attacking everyone.
Yeah, which is, I actually thought that's a pretty smart attack.
The Flash is then tricked into strapping a bomb to himself that has speed logic, which was a bus, not a train. Come on, commit to the bit. But the idea is, if you do not go full speed now, the bomb's going to blow off. If you slow down once you go full speed, it's going to blow. Meanwhile, Jean-Jean's is poisoned by the drink, so that his skin sweats magnesium,
As you do.
and he's set alight.
Who doesn't like setting fire to magnesium?
Now that is actually from the original comic book, so
That's pretty cool.
that one is the Wonder Woman kind of is, it's similar, and Batman's is similar. The rest of them are different from the comic book.
Right.
So Green Lantern, effectively he is gassed with Scarecrow's fear toxin, and which I believe is one of the traps that's used, I think, by Aquaman, or Aquaman rather than Lantern. And then the scenario is kind of done in such a way to make Hal Jordan lose all hope. So this seems to be the only one that's not deadly.
But losing all hope, I guess, is affects his Green Lanternisms.
Yeah. Who am I forgetting? There must be someone I'm forgetting. No, that is everyone. So,
This
John
is quite a
Jones.
tight team.
So, whilst this happens, we get. It was interesting because when we talked about All-Star Superman, obviously there was a famous scene that was kind of left out of it from the comic book. So we get to see a version of that play out here.
I thought it was interesting.
So, Superman is.
Yeah, trigger warning for suicidal ideation.
Yep. So Superman is goes up to see a member of the Daily Planet who looks like he's going to either jump from the top of the tower or shoot himself in the
He's
head.
standing on a ridge, but also with a gun to his head.
Yes.
So he's covering many bases.
So,
I shouldn't laugh, but it
yeah.
is like you don't really need to do the double up, but yeah.
So Superman seemingly seems to talk down the guy, so he decides to, instead of shooting himself, shoot Superman with a kryptonite bullet.
Bum bum ba.
So, yes, it turns out it's Metallo.
Yeah, because no actual Daily Planet person would do that. Only evil Metallo.
And then we get. And I've mentioned this before. This is my favourite shot of or scene of any of the movies we've covered. In fact, any of the ones we're probably going to cover, which is as Superman's falling, we see every single other member of the Justice League in peril. And it.
And it's a very good shot. It very much captures your attention.
And it strikes me as a center panel, pretty much.
It's definitely one of those big splash panels.
So as this is happening, Bruce goes all the bride on the coffin.
Yeah,
so he punches his way out of the coffin, which the only issue I have with that is you're meant to cover your head when you do that so you don't get suffocated.
It's Bruce, though.
I suppose.
I wouldn't even know that. How would I know that? I mean, it makes sense now you're saying it, but, like, maybe, I mean, Bruce should know this because he's probably been trapped in many things, but, like, yeah.
So, meanwhile, the Legion of Doom celebrate. And we find out what Vandal Savage's actual plan is.
Yeah.
Which
it's not that great a plan.
Yes. So his plan is... well, firstly, we get his backstory, which is... I was a caveman. A meteor landed and I slept next to it. And when I woke up, I was super intelligent and immortal with Wolverine healing factor.
I mean, you know, it's an origin story.
Yep. I don't know. I preferred the Egyptian thing, but that's more because I just like Legends of Tomorrow.
Yeah, I just generally like mythological like connections more than just I woke up and.
So his plan is, he's going to fire a rocket at the sun. The sun will then fire a solar flare at the Earth, which will then destroy the half of the Earth that's facing the sun, and it's a giant EMP, which then means that all electronics will be destroyed, and then because Vandal Savage will be the only person with technology, he will become the leader of all humankind.
Yeah.
And if the Legion of Doom want to work with him, they will get to be warlords in this new world.
Yes. That's all he wants.
Which, it sounds to me like basically is the idea of, oh, Microsoft doesn't control the world because this company is a rival. That company is owned by Microsoft. Ah, details.
It's getting more like that.
So, Batman escapes and he is angry.
Yeah, he's really angry.
As Cyborg shows up to see why Wonder Woman is being targeted by the cops.
Yeah. Well, I don't really know. I guess she's, like, running wild, hitting people.
Absolutely. So, Cyborg tries to talk Wonder Woman down. And it's like... I mean, surely by now, Wonder Woman, you've figured out that something's going on. That all you see is Cheetah.
Mm-hmm. But no, she hasn't. Because that's not her...
And also, when did Cheetah ever have the ability to have a hologram come out of her arm?
Yeah, I don't think she's really thinking straight.
Yeah. I do like... I mean, Claudia Black earned her paycheck here because she manages to voice different people.
Yeah, yeah.
And even though it's the same voice, you can tell though it's individuals.
I know, it's crazy.
Wonder Woman is eventually calmed down by Cyborg. He manages to, after getting his arm ripped off, he manages to still shoot her with it.
That's quite impressive.
Which turns the nanomachines off. Meanwhile, Bruce is in the Batcave. And he hears that Superman's been shot, goes... Okay, we'll call the Flash. Okay, the Flash has got a bomb strapped to him, which I've figured out before he even tells me.
Because he's Batman.
And then I find out the Martian Manhunter's on fire.
Because Batman.
And it is. It's that sort of way of, oh, someone's attacking the Justice League.
Yeah.
Me?
Mm-hmm.
So
it's like, who could have possibly plotted all these ways of taking out the Justice League?
So he manages to get Flash to pass through an iceberg, which slows the bomb enough that he's able to not be blown to smithereens by it.
Yeah.
Martian Manhunter is injected with a chemical so that he stops burning, even though he's underwater.
Yeah, that one's confusing to me. That would involve too many chemistry discussions at home.
Yes. I'm sure there are substances that burn in water. I don't know if magnesium is one of them.
I think it is. I think it's more than what you'd use to put it out, but I think it might be.
Mm. And also, there's a reference here that not only were all these plans very effective, but almost all of them were very easy to solve.
Yeah, well, which is like, Batman, if they were your, like, ways to take out the Justice League, and they all have relatively easy solutions, they weren't that great.
I suppose the idea is they're only easy if you know what you're doing.
Yeah, and if you understand, I guess, why you picked those as the ways to get at them.
Yeah.
But they still seem relatively easy.
Batman is effectively able to slap Green Lantern back into having some will.
Yeah, that's all it needs, a good slap with Hal.
And then the team work together to save Superman.
Yes.
And remove the kryptonite bullet.
Because that's all you need to do for him, at least.
So the Justice League meet up on their platform, where Batman goes, "Yeah, no, these plans are mine. Someone stole them."
Yeah, I like their sheer sort of, they're always surprised. In whichever version of comic or film you see them in, where they're like, "What, you knew how to take me out?" They're always surprised.
The plans were apparently modified to kill the Justice League. Which I kind of go, so how does the bomb not kill Flash?
Yeah, like what were they supposed to do before? I guess maybe just distract them for long enough till they worked out how to stop it, but it seems pretty dumb.
Yeah, and Batman, however, because he knew that there was a chance someone could steal his stuff, so he programmed the systems that if anyone opened them, it would send a relay back to him to tell him where they were.
Yeah.
Which is worse, because that means you knew there was a chance they could be stolen and you didn't tell them.
And you also didn't secure them very well. Which, considering you're a billionaire with, like, people like Lucas Fox or whoever as your tech people. Lucius.
The next kind of portion of the film is the Justice League show up and fight the Legion of Doom.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a great fight scene, but that's literally the sentence. It's a back and forth battle. Eventually, all the Justice League are able to overcome their respective villains.
Because that's how it works. But they should be able to. I mean, like, the heroes are always better.
And I mean, it's not like any of these supervillains was particularly like the top supervillain for their hero either. I mean, there's no Ares or, well, I don't know if he, Deathstroke maybe, Batman. Anyway, I'm getting off the point. So, Superman chases after the missile, but it turns out it's not one missile. It splits into multiple missiles.
Yeah, it's that was pretty good. So he has to make a decision.
So he is able to stop all bar one.
Because
So,
always, always
yes.
all ball one.
He then flies off because apparently he can fly back out of the sun faster than the speed of light.
Yeah.
So he arrives saying, "We have 7 minutes," which means it took him a minute to get from the sun to Earth.
It's fast.
Meanwhile, Green Lantern is going to try and hold up a solar flare.
Of course.
Which, to be fair, he almost does.
Yeah, he does.
They end up realizing, wait a minute, this dome is on the side of the Earth that's about to be hit by a solar flare. He must have had something to ensure the dome survived. And we get a reminder of, oh, there's a giant intangible machine.
Of course, because there's always some sort of gadget.
So they strap the intangible machine to the watchtower and they use it as a shield that makes the entire Earth intangible.
Which is pretty funny.
Which destroys the dome, but the Earth survives. And that's the end of the actual main plot.
Yeah, which is pretty good. That's quite an enjoyable, like, at least it fit well in the time.
So Vandal Savage is given a life sentence. Boom boom tish.
Yeah. Oh, Gotham life sentence.
And there is a meeting of the Justice League where they go, one, Cyborg, you're welcome to the Justice League, you're now a full-up member. And two, should Batman be allowed to stay for making plans to destroy us?
I mean, it's worth discussing, right?
And Batman effectively does the, you can't fire me, I quit.
Because he's Bruce Wayne.
Because he's Batman. Which is weird, because surely he owns the tower.
Yeah, but you know, they can still throw him out of their club.
So Batman then is approached by Superman, who gives him the kryptonite bullet, because Batman didn't have any kryptonite,
It's but
apparently.
it's so weird. It looks like he's proposing to him.
Yeah.
It's in a little box, and it's just like, and he like hands it over, and it's just like, and it's not like Batman doesn't go, ugh, like it's like a lead box, which would have been funny. It's just like, it
So,
looks like they're proposing. He's proposing. It made me laugh. I thought, oh look, they're gonna make up.
and it's the thing of Superman going, so you didn't make a plan for yourself? To which he goes, yeah, I did. That's what the Justice League is.
Yeah, it's like, oh, you guys can all take me out anytime.
Because that's, I suppose the whole idea from kind of Batman's logic is literally, well, we don't know how long before, but let's say 6 months ago, we met an evil version of ourselves. Of course, I came up with plans to.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's not actually, I'm never worried about that idea. Like, of course they should have. It's the same in the Avengers, where you find out he's got, that Iron Man has a suit that can go up against any Avenger. Right, it absolutely makes sense. If anyone's brainwashed, that you'd have something that can fight against them. I mean, you then choose whether to use deadly force or not. But like, you know, you need some sort of, if you have the kind of wherewithal to make it, why not?
So, yep, that is the end of the film. Oh, now that's one thing I didn't realise. Because I was just looking at Crisis on Two Earths. The Flash changes. So in Crisis on Two Earths, it's Wally West. And
And here we're back to Barry.
we're back to Barry Allen, yeah.
Interesting.
So, yeah, that was. I mean, there's an obvious sequel hook, but it never gets taken up. And I think it's
I quite liked it.
It's good, yeah. It's unfortunately it's
it
the
does
last.
its job, you know.
It's the last film we're going to see featuring being written by Dwayne McDuffie, unfortunately, for obvious reasons. And yeah, this was certainly one of my favourite films that we've seen so far.
Yeah, I just think it just holds together very well. Like, there's no bits that jolt you out and you start going, oh, that's dumb. Yeah, I quite liked it.
So our next film that's coming up is Superman and the Elite, which I know nothing about.
Okay, I listened to the Last Sons of Krypton podcast about this issue, this episode, this story, because the Elite was in reference to the Authority, who I know very well.
Right.
So I'm quite looking forward to seeing it because I haven't actually read it. I've just heard them talking about it. So I know there's some sort of link there. And it got me very frustrated in what the Elite says about the Authority, which I think isn't right. So it should be quite fun. So, looking forward to seeing it.
Yes, because it's based on What's So Funny About Truth, Justice and the American Way, which is a 2001. So we've moved from adapting 90s stories to early 2000s stories.
Yeah, but they always bounce around a bit usually because it just depends on what a director fancies, I guess.
Yeah. So that's coming up. I think it's the first movie for a while and the first movie and last movie for a while as well that's not directed by Lauren Montgomery, Sam Liu, or Jay Olivia.
Ah, so they brought someone different in for this one.
Yeah, Michael Chang.
Okay.
Who doesn't have a Wikipedia page, as far as I can see.
Sensible man.
After that, we are going to have part one of The Dark Knight Returns. Which we might have a guest for. We're not. It's
hopefully
we'll just need to confirm the exact details, but it's looking good. And we then, well, that comes in two parts, and we'll see what goes on from there.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for listening to the DCAU podcast.
Yeah, definitely.
Thank you for listening to the DCAU podcast. You can follow us on social media. We're at DCAU podcast on Twitter. Or you can email into us with either feedback on our show or on the movies we're about to watch at DCAUpodcast@yahoo.com. The DCAU podcast is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike 4.0 International License. Thank you for listening.